Running with Jake, the podcast. On this episode...
What are you up to for the rest of the day? You're self-isolating, working from home, or you're panic buying toilet roll? What are you doing?
All of those, yeah.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Because every runner needs the occasional plot. And here's your host, Jake Lowe.
It's the Running With Jake podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lowe. This was supposed to be a marathon special. We were super excited about this. But the podcast is all about your weekly dose of running motivation. And if ever there was a time that you need motivation, it is now. The world has clearly gone a little bit corona crazy. We had many things lined up on the show today. We have scrapped that. And we now need to get you motivated, get you fired up. Because I think there's a lot of concern, Pete, you know, in the running community, shall we say. All these races being deferred, being cancelled. London now postponed until October the 4th. People panicking about not only their health, but also what are they going to do about training? All that training, has it been wasted? It's just gone mad, Pete.
Yeah, absolutely. I think generally, as a non-running guy, obviously I'm only able to talk about the world in general without running being the main centre, but I understand that obviously for runners as well, that's you've got a whole bunch of different things, because all of a sudden a date that you were working to and you'd got your schedule planned to and you got everything worked to has now been deferred however many months backwards. I mean, how do you deal with that? What happens there?
The thing is, Pete, you know, I'm generally speaking, I'm a glasses half full kind of guy. Not always, I'll have my moments, but I do try to look at things through a relatively a positive lens, shall we say.
Sure.
And I want to give people some thoughts and advice on exactly what they can do to best prepare themselves for the marathon, the deferred race that they've been gearing up, training hard for throughout the winter months. And that's going to come up a little bit later on the show. But you know what? Sure. There is always positive things in not so great situations. Arguably, sometimes you really do have to look very closely. You have to be really committed to find some good in some bad. But there are many, many positives. And one of the big things, of course, is it gives people a bit of a get out of jail free card. Those people that haven't trained as well as they should have done, they've been hit by droughts in motivation, maybe they had a few injuries, maybe they had all good intentions of getting going in January, the start of the new year, and they just didn't.
Yeah,
well, actually, they've got much longer to train now. In fact, you never know, even you could get yourself running for a race in autumn. Maybe you could join the thousands of people out there that are going to be taken to the streets in October, because it's going to happen.
Well, Jake, that sounds like an absolutely ridiculous idea, but you were going to do Manchester and then you had the ankle issue. How are you affected? How are you affected personally by this?
Well, in terms of, I've had a lot of messages from people actually saying, oh, Jake, can you believe it? You know, you went over on your ankle, you couldn't do Manchester 2020, or so you thought, and now it's been deferred to the back end of the year. Is it back on? Are you going to do it? And I won't deny, it did enter my head. I thought, well, actually, could I do this? But first of all, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to have a long-term plan, which I advise many runners. And I really believe that most runners don't set long-term goals. They think they're long-term, but they're actually relatively short-term in the world of running. So I'm going to stick to my guns of 2021 for Manchester, April next year. But actually, I deferred it already, you see. I'd already notified Manchester and said, guys, look, shucks, can't do it. Can I move my place to 2021? So I think there's no chance of me running back end of this year anyway, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah. It's down to me to put my focus into helping other people and my runners and inspiring other people to get in the best shape possible. But that's the situation.
I mean, obviously, you are the top man as far as advice for running is concerned. Have you got any advice for toilet roll buying? Because I'm genuinely down to one roll. I've popped into a couple of shops. I don't want to go in the big supermarkets because it's crazy in there. It's like you can't even get in the car park.
Man.
But I popped in Sainsbury's local, and I felt totally judged because I went up to the toilet roll section, which was empty, and I didn't want anyone to think that I was panic buying toilet rolls. Do you know what I mean? Because everyone's very judgmental of the panic buyers. You see social media, people are really judgmental of the panic buyers, which brings me down to one question. Who the hell is panic buying if everybody's being judgmental?
You're absolutely right, Pete. And do you know what? It's not just the panic buying that makes me feel, if I put a 4-pack of toilet roll in my shopping basket, I feel guilty now. Is that, I'm thinking people are looking at me. And then as I'm walking to the till, if I do a little cough, it's even worse. Like everybody stops and stares at you. But I have.
No, they do. People have become so analytical. It's unbelievable. It's like, you know, all I want to do is I want to buy some toilet paper, and when I have some toilet paper and I put it in my basket, I'm going to feel like I'm taking it away from the bottom of others. And, you know, that's no way to feel.
Do you know, I was talking to Martina about this the other day, actually, my girlfriend, who is Italian, and obviously given the lockdown of the country over there, she's keeping in close contact with friends and family. And
sure.
I mean, their attitude is just, it's incredible, really. They're all out on the balconies, you've probably seen on social media, singing and kind of trying to unite and keep people's spirits high, which is just awesome. But you know what? Her mum and dad regularly send us parcels over. So they'll send us parcels of pasta, which obviously are coming very handy now, and food and all these kinds of things. In fact, when we first got together and she received this massive parcel, probably about 30 kilos, honestly, it must cost more to send than it does than the actual contents that are in the box. And I thought, do her family think that I keep her locked in a cupboard under the stairs and don't feed her? It's really weird. We have food in this country. Now I'm all for the parcels, and I'm hoping that they actually stick a bidet in there, because that had come in really handy right now. Those Italians, they've got fantastic foresight, you know, I'm telling you.
Not only do you get running advice on this show, you get toilet advice too, which is great. That's good.
It's the Running with Jake podcast, your weekly dose of running motivation. We keep it real.
Running with Jake, the podcast, your weekly dose of running motivation, out every Wednesday. Never miss an episode by subscribing now.
Right now, we're speaking to a very good friend of mine who's a seriously committed runner, director of a company, a wife. She's a mum. Back in 2016, she held the world record for pushing a buggy around a half marathon. Since then, she's been taking her training to the limit, pushing herself in a bid to break that magical 3 hours in a marathon. Over the last 12 months, she was given the opportunity to wear the England vest in the Chester Marathon in October, only to get ill a few weeks before the event and not be able to take part. She picked herself up, dusted herself down, and targeted the Manchester Marathon in April of this year, only to find once more that the race has been deferred and she will have to play the waiting game. She's bitterly disappointed. I'm really intrigued to know how she's dealing with this. Lindsay, how are you feeling?
Okay, so I had a chat with you the other day and I was in quite a black place, I think, a few days ago.
Well, you say it was a chat with me. I didn't really say much. You just hit me with the verbal diarrhea. It was a barrage.
Yeah, I don't often get that down about things, but I was just like, this is the only thing that matters right now, and why has it been taken away, and I've put so much time and investment into this, and I've sacrificed so much family time, and I think as things have unfolded over the weekend and this week, and you start to reflect and look back and you think, actually, this is minuscule in the grand scheme of things. So I've gone through, as probably many people in my position have, in terms of having their marathons cancelled, a bit of a range of emotions over the last few days.
It's not easy, is it? Because whenever you dealt, you know, cards like this, and we don't choose it, of course, and something's taken away from you, you kind of have to go, you have to think about how it makes you feel. And there's that natural kind of knee-jerk reaction, emotionally speaking, and people feeling down and frustrated and angry. I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of the comments on some of the Facebook pages, you know, the event pages of the various races that have been postponed, but there's a whole range of comments.
It's been really interesting how it's really changed over the last few days, because I entered Manchester, as soon as London went, I knew Manchester was going to go. But then I got a charity place for quite a small marathon, Boston Lincolnshire. With the numbers being considerably smaller, I thought there's a chance that that's going to go ahead. And it was only until Monday that they said that that wasn't going to happen as well. And I think over the different event organisers' websites and social media, at first people were like, completely understand. And then there's been a bit of a change of tone, like, you know, you need to be responsible, you should be cancelling this. And I'm thinking, it's so hard for everyone, because the biggest thing for me, I run a charity, and the London Marathon and all these events, for some charities, that event keeps them going for the whole year. And people don't realise that it affects so many things, not just the event organisers, but the charities that are involved, all the sponsors, volunteers, absolutely everything. So the knock-on effect, I mean, runners are part of that, but the whole build-up of all of these things is a huge knock-on effect that people don't realise the long-term damage that that's doing to organisations.
I think it's really funny, isn't it, Lindsay? Because you naturally, people are going to think about how do I feel about that? How does this impact me? Cast your mind back to the Ramathon, as it was then called, which is the Derby Half Marathon, back in 2016, when you broke the world record for pushing a buggy around the course. I know from being closely linked to that race and running around with a selfie stick and doing mad stuff and speaking to the organisers and the event director. And I remember him saying to me, the amount of work and effort that goes into putting on an event like this. And this is an event that's, you know, small in relation to these huge marathons that are going on around the world and have been postponed. And I don't think people necessarily realise how much effort and work goes into being able to map out the course and those last minute changes and councils.
A lot of people who run these events are sports people and are good people, and the last thing that they want is to make this awful situation even worse. So those event organisers won't have taken the decision lightly, but it will have been done based on that it could be catastrophic should we be spreading this even further. So there is a real mix in the running community. I mean, I've got friends that are, yeah, we completely understand, and then I've got other friends that are just like, well, I'm going to run an event anyway, and we should all just, you know, stand up against this. And it's interesting that to kind of polar opposites of how people are feeling. But I do think the messages haven't been quite so clear until recently, so people probably haven't realised the extent of what could happen. And at the end of the day, when you put things in perspective, so last week when it was cancelled and I gave myself a good hour to kind of just wallow in self-pity and pick myself back up again, to now where you're thinking, actually, I could know someone in a few weeks who could lose their life over this. And when you start to think, does it really matter? No, it doesn't. You know, we can all run another marathon again, we can all train again, and in that build-up, what have you actually lost? What have we actually lost in 6 months of training, or a year's training, or if you're an Olympian and who knows what's going to happen then, what have you lost in those 4 years of training? You've got fitter. You've probably met more people. You've probably helped people out through conversations that you have through running. And if you haven't run a marathon, it's not going to stand you in bad stead to build on that fitness to going forward in September. If you'd asked me this a few days ago, that's not what I would have said.
I wish I'd have recorded that call just so we could play it, so people could get an idea of exactly how you were feeling in that moment.
Yeah, well, my other half said, oh, and a few people said, oh, your training's bagged. And I'm like, all I'm thinking of, all the mornings I got up, I sacrificed. The biggest thing for me was I've sacrificed so much family time, which is so important to me. And my son never got the best of me on those long run days, because I would be literally there in body, not in spirit or mind, just going, yeah, I will chase you. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty bad right now.
I mean, you have to spin so many plates when you're training for a big goal, don't you? And the more you want to push yourself into that goal, so the more ambitious you are in terms of targeted times, clearly you are very ambitious. You want to achieve 99.9%, if not 100% of what you're capable in the races that you do. But it does have a significant impact on other areas of your life, be it social, family, work, missing out on events that perhaps, you know, I mean, social events here that you would ordinarily get involved in. So it's not easy, and it does come at a huge cost. But I think you make some fantastic points there, that it is not lost. Now, people naturally are going to be thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? And I can't believe all the time that I've wasted and the money for the charities and all this kind of stuff, booking hotels. But the fitness isn't going anywhere. And cast your mind back to the Chester Marathon last year, when you were not able to take part because you were ill. And if we categorise illness in the same sort of group as injury, it's far better in many respects that you're not able to take part in an event because it's been deferred or cancelled. You're still able to physically keep active and run. So that's surely, surely you'd be able to take something from that.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think in terms of, I was reflecting on my kind of when the announcement came out, and I was thinking, well, what have I gained from this? Because I was like, I can't see any positives right now. Everything is so bad.
Wow.
And even I look back to one of the worst long runs that I'd done. So we've all, anyone that's been training for a spring marathon will have done so much running in really awful conditions. I mean, I've never known wind like it. And I remember one where it was so hard to, I was doing the long run on my own. It was about 2 hours 45 I was running. The wind was 20 plus mile an hour. I set off, there was a little bit of sun, then it went to a bit of rain, then I came back in sleet, and fans and big lorries were going past and just covering me in salt, mud, dirt. Oh. I got back to my car, I felt broken, and I was thinking, why am I doing this? And I look back now and it's that mindset. You can sometimes, it's even the little things. What are the small wins that I've got? I've realized that I can push myself through things that are really unpleasant, that I can keep going. I can apply that to different areas of life. I've tried new strategies in this marathon training that I know that will help me moving forward to the next marathon run. And there's certainly things, again, that I can improve on. So you have to just pick up on the positives of what you've got. And most runners will have done other races in this period of time. And I bet the majority of those will have probably got a PB in at least one race. So there will be, in terms of some outcome goals, there will be some positive goals there too.
And here's a question for you, Linz. Obviously, we, I think, are in agreement, we've exchanged a few messages, that it's clearly the right thing for these organisers who don't want to cancel the events or postpone them. There's probably a logistical nightmare for all of them. They don't want to do that, but they've been forced to, and it is certainly the right decision. What are your thoughts on those events that went ahead? So the events at the weekend that went ahead, do you think that the organisers did the right thing, in your opinion, or do you think they should have been postponed?
Yeah, it's a controversial question. I think then everyone was still following the advice and guidance from the government, and there wasn't anything clear cut about, as was announced on Monday, that this has got to stop now and we're putting restrictions on large-scale events, etc. It's a hard call, isn't it? You've got the pressure of the running community, of all those people that are relying on, as I mentioned before, sponsorships, charities. I think if it's small scale events, they probably could have got away with it. It comes back to morals, I guess, at the end of the day. Is it something that you want to risk, putting other people in danger, spreading it? I mean, what I'm hearing a lot is people are saying, well, I'm fit and healthy and I'm not in that risk category, so why shouldn't we run? But that's not the issue. The issue is that what if you come into contact with someone else? You're carrying it as a fit athlete or individual. You pass that on to someone else who isn't, someone in your family, someone in the local community. Personally, I wouldn't want that responsibility. That would be the worst thing. So it's not necessarily about us getting ill. It's about us passing it on and then the effect that our NHS system cannot cope with that.
I think you're absolutely right. And the difficulty, I think, is that the advice at the moment, and of course it is changing by the hour, it's Tuesday morning when we're recording this call, that when you're listening to this, it's no doubt Wednesday morning, and the advice is changing so frequently, and what we're talking about now might have escalated once again. It's almost by the hour. But it seems to be that the advice is advisory. It's precautionary. It's not black and white. It's not do this or don't do this in many cases. And I think that makes it a little bit difficult. It means that there's a bit of grey there. You know, England Athletics, I see, are not sending any athletes to international competitions. I'm getting regular updates on some of the England-affiliated running clubs around the country that have made the decision to cancel their group runs, their club meetups each week. And I'm sure they're frustrated as much as their members are, but they've made the decision to do that, whereas some are still going ahead. Major sporting events have been cancelled. So it really is dividing opinion here. And, you know, I don't know whether I'm going to ruffle a few feathers here, but stuff it. I think that in many respects, sometimes as runners, and I do put myself in this category, I think that we can sometimes be a little bit selfish in our endeavours to achieve certain things. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that, Lindsay, but, you know, I've thought this for many years now, whether that's through relationships I've been in, whether that's friends that I might have let down because they had a particular engagement they really wanted me to join them in, and, you know, I had my long run in the morning. And if you're really pushing yourself and serious about a goal, then you do have to be a little bit selfish. But I do wonder whether sometimes in a situation like this, it's now time just to turn that selfishness down a little bit and just think about, as you say, all those people that we might be fit and healthy as runners, but we could pass that on to others.
I completely agree with you. And I think, I mean, what they're not saying is, they're not saying you can't run, you can't go outside. They're just saying, you know, if you're going to be mixing in groups, that's not necessarily a positive thing because of passing it on, so large group runs, etc. What they're not saying is don't go outside and don't exercise. And I think what is really crucial and vital through this real challenging time is we know exercise has a positive impact not just on our physical but mental health. And if we're losing that connectivity with people, exercise is vital. So continue to exercise, get out there, get some fresh air. It's just doing it in the right parameters that have been set and recommended by the government. So you could still go out running with a colleague or a friend at the moment, unless things change. And you can still keep your own ambition. But I think it's doing things for the greater good now, isn't it? And it's looking at, can my actions impact negatively on other people, and what is the consequence of that? What I wanted to ask you is, how do you feel your running community has responded then to their events cancel? I know you're quite a lot in Manchester. Have they gone through the same grieving, consolidating, and then moving on and thinking forward?
Well, there's a few groups of people here. Obviously, there's my close-knit performance community who I'm in contact with almost daily, and I'm doing live videos exclusively for them and sharing messages and voice notes and all that sort of stuff. So as soon as I knew that this was happening, and most people were doing Manchester, we had some people doing Edinburgh Marathon. There's also people doing Berlin Marathon at the end of the year, which kind of throws a bit of a curveball in a way, doesn't it? Because it's now in the mix with all these other marathons. So there's a few considerations there. But I wanted to just effectively play the role of a leader and give people some motivation, make them and help them to realize that there are so many positives, some of which we've touched on in this call, that, you know, even though it's been taken away from us, you've actually got more time now, which is a massive positive. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later in the show in more detail, how people can make that difference from a spring marathon to an autumn marathon. But the people on my other social channels are dropping me messages, and a lot of them are talking about going out there, like some of your friends, and just running it themselves on the day. And I think there's a few thoughts there, which I'll share a bit later. But I think it's down to the individual what they want to do, really. And I think they've got to process it themselves, really, and get over it before they move on to that healing phase, effectively, where they can start to be a bit more logical about how they move forward.
It's quite interesting as well. I mentioned before, like, I'd entered the Manchester, and then I had the Lincoln that hadn't been the Boston Marathon in Lincolnshire that hadn't been at the time cancelled. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, this is going to get cancelled. So on the Saturday, we had our long run, and it was we still had about 15 people that turned up to do a long run, some because they were just like, well, I'm going to continue training as I did before, and others that were still hopeful that there may be another marathon. And that training session was so hard, because physically my body was okay, but my mind was, it was like, I didn't really believe that the event was going to happen, and it isn't happening. But two, it's interesting how when you haven't got a goal to focus on, suddenly the training becomes a lot harder and you start to switch off a little bit. And it's not as, although the pressure was off, it was almost like a little bit less enjoyable because you've not got that focus to drive towards. So it was, Saturday was an interesting session.
So just to finish off, is Manchester 2020 on the table for you? I see that they are yet to announce their date. They're going to announce it on March the 18th, which is when this podcast is going out, at 6 p.m, I believe. Well, they say there's an update, but I think we're kind of all hoping that they're going to give a date on when it's going ahead. It must be difficult for them because obviously they're trying not to clash with other marathons that have now been postponed. But is it on the table for you? Is it back on, or are you going to wait until next year? What's your thoughts?
I'm a little impatient, so I think it's going to be back on, but I've got to have a bit of time off before building that mileage back up again, and hopefully I can build on the foundation that I've got now. So I've got nothing else pretty much in September. Why not?
Brilliant. Love it. I'm going to come down and support. So whenever that date is, I'm going to make sure I'm free. So I'd love to catch up with you down there. And you know what? Let's just rise to the challenge. There's obviously mass hysteria at the moment on the news, on our social feeds. Let's try and keep some positivity. We're runners. We've been training for this for years. Let's keep that attitude, support each other, make the right decisions, and we will all have our day at some point. Lindsay, it's been absolutely awesome chatting to you. What are you up to for the rest of the day? You're self-isolating, working from home? Are you panic buying toilet roll? What are you doing?
All of those,
It's you, is it? It's you that's buying all the toilet paper in Doncaster. Yeah. I've read about you on the news. Disgusting.
Still to come on Running with Jake.
week.
Because of this card that we've been dealt at the moment, let's just hold back a little bit, maybe over certainly the next couple of weeks, 2 to 4 weeks, let things settle down, find out what's happening with the situation with your race, don't do anything drastic and just back off a bit. You will not lose as much fitness as you feel.
But now, here's Jake.
Well, we may be runners, but we don't get any medals for being aware of the fact that the hot topic at the moment is the coronavirus. Many marathons are being postponed. Almost every day we're waking up to the news that another event organiser has released a statement saying that they've rescheduled their spring marathon to the back end of the year. Some dates have been arranged and confirmed, whereas some are still yet to be confirmed. And kind of left a little bit in the dark. There's a lot of runners feeling frustrated, feeling almost angry, feeling like they've wasted their time with training, worried about all the money that they've raised for charity, worried about losing fitness, worried about how they now shift their training to accommodate an autumn marathon when they were actually training for April, let's say. So I just wanted to share with you five, what I think are really key points to cover that can help you to gain a little bit of confidence and also hopefully help you to understand that all is not lost. And these are potentially quite exciting times for you in terms of your marathon now, even though it has been delayed. But before I jump into those 5 points, I just want to put it out there that if you are feeling down, you're feeling anxious, you're feeling a little bit like a bear with a sore head, understand that this is part of the process and you're entitled to feel like that. You know, if you are giving yourself a bit of a hard time because you're feeling really frustrated about the whole thing, it's a natural part of training for or preparing for anything that is a huge deal. That could be a wedding, it could be a marathon, it could be a holiday, and all of a sudden it doesn't go ahead. There's a problem, there's an issue, you feel like the carpet has been pulled from under your feet. So you are going to go through almost a grieving period, and allowing yourself some space to do that, I think, can just help you to deal with the whole thing and understand that actually you're not on your own and it is okay to feel like that. Now, having said that, of course, at some point we do need to have a little word with ourselves and we need to pull ourselves out of the doom and gloom and start to look at things through a more positive lens, shall we say. So while I am not a coronavirus expert, what I'd like to do is give you some perspective on the situation of training for a race that has been postponed. So, number one, a lot of people are talking about running the distance themselves. So I'd like to share my thoughts on this and give you some advice. Now, people are saying, well, I was intending on running London Marathon in April. It's not going ahead, so stuff it. I'm just going to go and do 26.2 miles myself. Now, do I think that's a good idea? Well, here's the thing. I don't have all the answers. I think in this situation, it is largely personal. I would be asking myself, if it was me, do I have the desire to go and run 26.2 miles on my own? Does it inspire me? For me, the answer would be no, but then I've ran 13, 14 marathons, so it isn't my first time. I wouldn't be pinning all my hopes and prayers on a spring marathon necessarily, just covering the distance. I want to do it as an event. I want the medal. I want the t-shirt. I want to be part of the whole thing. So if it really floats your boat and you feel like, do you know what? I want to maximize the training that I've, all the effort I've put in through winter, and I want to go and run it myself, then by all means, go for it. The only caveat to this is monitor the situation carefully. Of course, we all know that our news feed, our social media feeds are full of the latest updates on the situation with the coronavirus, and it's changing so frequently. In fact, when you listen to this podcast, the situation may have escalated once more. So make sure it is a possibility for you to go and cover that distance on your own. But if you feel like doing it, fine. The only thing I would suggest is be mindful of the impact it may have on you returning back to running and hard training, and the impact it may have on you taking part in the official autumn marathon, the one that's been rescheduled, because I imagine you would still want to take part in that and do the whole thing properly, as well as just running it on your own. And if training, let's say, hasn't been going too well for you, and you push yourself through 26.2 miles just because you said you were going to do that, does it hinder your return to running and therefore the chance of you getting involved in autumn? So something to think about. Number two, I would strongly advise that everybody now goes into what I call maintenance mode. So when we run, when we train, we are all about increasing our fitness. We want to get faster. We want to build our endurance. We might want to lose a little bit of body fat. However, this is a time to say, do you know what? I'm going to shift the focus from trying to improve, and I'm just going to focus on maintaining the fitness I've already got. And furthermore, if you actually lose a little bit of fitness, I don't see that as a problem in any way, shape or form. And here's why. First of all, we have so long now. So let's say you were training for the London Marathon, which is, we know, is being rescheduled to the 4th of October. Well, if you started training for that in January, well, that's 9 months that you have to train for the London Marathon. That's a long time. You can afford to lose a little bit of fitness. And in terms of losing fitness, you won't lose as much as you think just by dropping back in terms of volume and intensity. So if you ease off the distances that you run at the moment, and if you ease off the intensity that you work at, and you're a little kinder to yourself, both physically and mentally, you won't lose as much fitness as you think. I can promise you that. One of the great running coaches, renowned running coach, Dr. Jack Daniels, he talks about if somebody has a complete break from running for 10 weeks, so does not run at all, they would lose a maximum of 20% of the fitness they gained. So if they don't run for 10 weeks doing nothing, they lose a maximum of 20% of the fitness. Now, if you think about that and relate that to yourself, we're not talking about stopping training here. We're not talking about having 10 weeks off. We're saying, actually, because of this card that we've been dealt at the moment, let's just hold back a little bit, maybe over certainly the next couple of weeks, 2 to 4 weeks, let things settle down, find out what's happening with the situation with your race. Don't do anything drastic and just back off a bit. You will not lose as much fitness as you feel. And although I am not a coronavirus expert, although we all feel that we are at the moment, this is clearly a situation where the people that are a little bit more vulnerable, that have underlying health issues or a suppressed immune system, appear to be more at risk. Now, you will know if you're an experienced marathon runner, and you will know if you're not experienced, because even if this spring marathon you were working towards was your first one, because you got into the thick of the training, you'll now know that training really takes it out of the body. It's not just your muscles, your bones, your joints, your ligaments that take a hammering. It's all your body's system. So your central nervous system, for example, your digestive system, your immune system. Given the situation right now, do we really want to be putting ourselves under undue stress, more stress than is necessary, which could result in us lowering our immune system? I don't think we do. And many experienced runners will say when they're training really hard, particularly through winter, they actually pick up bugs and colds because of the intense nature that they're training at and the impact it has on their immune system. So something to think about and keeping yourself safe. Point number three on how to train for a postponed marathon, what to do in this situation that we now find ourselves in. I would take the opportunity to reassess your goal, the whole goal. So when you're really working hard towards something, we're almost so in the thick of it that we never really give ourselves the space or the time to stand back and look at how things are going objectively. Ask ourselves what we could do differently. How is the training going compared to how we thought it would go? Because there is a difference there, isn't there? When I'm working with my runners, I monitor closely what they are actually doing rather than what we intended on them doing in terms of the training plan they're following, because we need to base things on the reality. Well, you've got the opportunity now to take a step back, look at things with a little bit of clarity and say, right, how's it going? What changes could I make? It may be the case that because you have more time now for autumn, and you felt like you were in pretty good shape anyway, maybe you did a half marathon as part of your training for this spring marathon that's been deferred, and you could probably think, well, do you know what? Maybe I need to make my target time a little bit more ambitious. Maybe I'm in better shape than I thought I was. Maybe I have a greater level of potential than I first thought. Well, you can make those necessary adjustments. In terms of reassessing the goal, I think getting logistical about stuff, look at what the situation is in terms of the race that has been rescheduled. So has a date been set first and foremost? If it has, can you make that date? Are you free? Do you have anything else that could clash with it? Do you have other races around the date, this new rescheduled date? Because I see people talking about, my gosh, I'm booked in to do the Berlin Marathon and there's only a week difference now between that and the London Marathon and I've got these other races. And obviously that could result in the intensity being too high, too much of a stress to the body, and it could result in injury, which is not what anybody wants. So you might need to make some adjustments to your target. So I would certainly spend some time just reassessing your goal. it may be the case that you need to make some adjustments now that it will be summer that you'll be training through for your marathon. And of course, summer does not suit everybody, particularly if you suffer from hay fever. That can really stop you in your tracks and mean that you miss quite a few running sessions. And people have preferences, whether they prefer training for a marathon at the back end of the year or earlier in the year. Now, myself and my girlfriend Martina, we really love training through summer. It's something we really enjoy. Shorts on, t-shirt on, you haven't got to think about what to wear, off you go. So we like autumn marathons, but it isn't everybody's cup of tea. And I think knowing your preference and knowing what you have to deal with through training will help you just to make those little adjustments that could give you a greater outcome when you do get to the race day. Okay, so the next thing you can do is you can put right your training wrongs. All those things that you had every great intention of doing, incorporating into your training, like good sleep, good nutrition, you were going to be super consistent with your running, you were going to make sure you did every long run, you were going to do strength work, you were going to stretch in front of the TV while you're watching Netflix on an evening, and it didn't happen. Well, now you can look at what you should have done and what you intended on doing and make sure that you put right those wrongs. We've got more time. So if you had an injury, for example, something that you picked up, maybe a calf strain, maybe a little bit of runner's knee or a touch of the ITB syndrome, and you sort of thought, well, I should book in with a physio, but oh my gosh, I've not got long now until Brighton or Paris Marathon, and I really need to get stuck into the training, and it just fell by the wayside. Well, pick that back up. I would go into Operation Rehab right now. Get to the root cause of the injury. You've got time on your side. You can maximize this, and this can really serve you well. In fact, you have the potential to do far greater in your marathon now it's in autumn than you would have done if it had gone ahead in spring. And number five, the final thought I want to share with you is, let's see this as an opportunity. This is exactly what it is. It's frustrating, it's disappointing, but once you get over that, once you move on from that, once you put your plan in place, you've reassessed your goal, you've put right your training wrongs, then you can start to get excited and realize just how much you are able to improve your fitness and improve your chance of success now you've been given this extra time. And also, remember how great the story will be. If you decided one day to run a marathon, and the following morning you woke up and you thought, okay, let's go. You went and ran the marathon, you completed it. I mean, that's okay, isn't it? It's not bad. However, if you've had the struggle, if you've had the highs and the lows, if you've battled through winter, all those elements, missing your runs, all those work meetings that overran which caused you to miss sessions, battling your own motivation droughts, battling illness, all these little setbacks and obstacles will add to the reward and that euphoric feeling when you finally cross the line in your race, which you will. It will happen. It's just being postponed. It's just being delayed. It's not going anywhere, and you will have your day. So see this as an opportunity. Let's grasp it with both hands and let's go for it. Right, a quick recap. Five thoughts, considerations on how to train for a postponed marathon, how to deal with this awful situation we find ourselves in at the moment, which many people are feeling frustrated, disappointed, anxious, scared, confused with how to train. So number one, if you're planning on running the distance yourself, just question how important that is to you. Is it something you really want to do? And what impact is it going to have when you do return back to running? And are you going to be able to make the official race, which has now been postponed? Number three is take a step back and reassess your goal. Has a date been set for the marathon that's been postponed? Can you take part in it? How do you feel about it? Is it something that you need to look at adjusting the target time, maybe making it slightly quicker, or maybe you need to rein it in a little bit based on how training went for the spring marathon? Now is the time to do that. Number four is put right your training wrong. So any little niggles that you have, you need to iron out. You've got some time to get to the bottom of it, the root cause, and make sure that you're fighting fit when you do get stuck back into proper training. And last but not least, number five, let's see this as an opportunity, which is exactly what it is. Remember why we run, because we want to increase our mental health, our physical fitness, we want to reduce the risk of heart-related disease. This is an opportunity to get all of those amazing benefits and have an even greater experience when we finally cross that marathon line. And I think that is key to remember.
For the show notes and video content, go to runningwithjake.com/podcast and follow us on social media.
It's time for Hashtag Ask Jake, where we give you the answers to your burning running-related questions, and you don't win any prizes for guessing what the hot topic is at the moment. COVID-19 and the impact it's having on the running community at the moment. And Tom sent a message in because he's in a little bit of panic at the moment. He is obviously one of the many that was due to take part in the London Marathon. It's been deferred to the 4th of October. The great news is he can still do it and he's really excited, but the problem is he's also down to run the Berlin Marathon, which is the weekend before. It's the 27th of September. I imagine there's many people in this the situation. And Tom wants to know, is that a good idea to run both back-to-back? Well, here's the thing, Tom. Couple of options here. If you are an experienced runner, maybe you've done several marathons before, you're used to a high volume of training, perhaps you've done some ultra marathons, then you probably have a reasonable tolerance level to the impact of running, in which case it might be a safe option for you to do both. If you do decide to do both, I would certainly suggest that you're a little bit cautious and you don't push yourself in both of them. Perhaps treat them both as easy long runs and soak up the atmosphere, live to fight another day. If, however, this is perhaps the first time you've ever run a marathon, or you don't do particularly high volume of training, or you've not done ultramarathons before, it might just be a stretch too far. It might be too stressful for you, and you could end up having a good experience in Berlin and then getting yourself injured during the London Marathon the weekend after. So live to fight another day and defer one to the following year would be my strong advice. As frustrating as it will be, the moment you've made the decision on what you're going to do over the course of those 2 weekends, you will instantly feel better, I guarantee it. If you've got a question, then it's hashtag AskJake, or you can drop us a line at podcast@runningwithjake.com. That's it for today's show. Please don't forget to use your podcast app to share, subscribe and review the episode. We release a new show every single Wednesday. We'll see you back here next week. For show notes and any extra content, all you need to do is go to runningwithjake.com/podcast. Run safe, run well. Oh yeah, and one last thing. Remember that success comes to those still willing to get their hands dirty. But just don't touch your face.